They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The head of BP meets the wrath of Congress.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. BP's chief executive, Tony Hayward, faces a congressional hearing today. He will tell lawmakers and the TV cameras what led to the Gulf oil spill, how his company is cleaning it up, and, of course, how deeply regretful he is. But all of those things have already been expressed many times. So why does today's public appearance actually matter? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer takes a look.
Earlier in the week, lawmakers at another hearing wanted to know why oil companies mention walruses in disaster management plans for the Gulf. They haven't lived there for 3 million years. ExxonMobil's Rex Tillerson dutifully admitted the mistake.
And it's unfortunate that walruses were included.
Grill, baby, grill. Politicians love skewering CEOs. It looks good to voters back home. But does it actually lead to meaningful business regulations? Alan Lichtman is an expert on politics and elections at American University.
These hearings can build momentum and publicity for real legislation, whatever that may be.
The hearings can also build momentum for the courtroom. Carl Tobias teaches law at the University of Richmond. He says lawyers will be waiting for BP CEO Tony Hayward to make an incriminating statement today.
Well, it's possible that it could be used in some future case that the Justice Department might put together.
A case against BP or Hayward himself. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
The United Auto Workers Union holds its annual meeting this week in Detroit. There, members are discussing how to reach beyond Detroit. Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us why the UAW wants to sign up workers outside the auto industry.
The United Auto Workers has been losing members for a long time. For one thing, the auto industry in the U.S. is a lot smaller than it used to be. Barry Bluestone is dean of the Public Policy School at Northeastern University, and he says a union is nothing without members.
They need to have a base, both for dues dollars and also for political clout. So reaching out and organizing beyond the traditional base is critical.
The UAW has been trying to organize all kinds of workers, from graduate students to blackjack dealers in casinos. But there are still plenty of auto workers to go after, too, like the people who work in the assembly plants run by Toyota and Hyundai. Rick Hurd is professor of labor studies at Cornell. He says so far the UAW hasn't been very successful at getting those workers to sign on.
I'm sure they won't ignore this, but it is a difficult task, especially for the foreign companies.
Recruiting new members will probably be high on the UAW's agenda this year. The union just elected a new president, Bob King, whose background is in organizing. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed around the world, higher in Europe, but up and down in Asia. Shares of BP jumped up in London after the company agreed to set up a $20 billion fund for compensating oil spill victims. Why would that make the stock rise? Well, as they say, investors despise uncertainty, and even a $20 billion figure is a kind of certainty. Wall Street seemed uncertain yesterday. The Dow inched up 5 points to 10,409.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store.
As I mentioned, BP agreed yesterday to set up this $20 billion fund for paying victims of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. Well, Marketplace's economics editor, Chris Farrell, is wondering if the fishing industry workers at the Gulf Coast deserve to be compensated. What about the other victims of global business? Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Bill.
Which victims of global business are you thinking of?
Well, Bill, when you look at the Gulf oil spill, we're just all just shook by the workers that have lost their jobs, people that have lost their careers. But what I'm thinking about is how global competition and innovation, so many workers have lost their jobs and their careers to something we call that is good. So I think there's a much bigger story in the BP oil spill and the workforce. It suggests that we should take a broader picture, not a narrow look at the Gulf oil.
But Chris, an oil spill is a violation. I mean, losing jobs to competition and innovation, isn't that sort of the way it goes?
Oh, I know we call it creative destruction, but what I'm emphasizing is the destruction part of free trade and technological innovation. I mean, Bill, really, do you think it makes much of a difference whether you lose your job to an oil spill or you lose your job to a new computer? I mean, the reason why we focus on the oil spill is that we can see it every night on TV. It is a genuine tragedy. And when you lose your job to a computer, you know, it's a footnote in an annual report, and a company will say, well, we laid off 1,000 workers in our back office because we were able to replace them with Google, iPad, whiz bang computer. But nevertheless, in both cases, workers are losing their job to technological innovation and competition. And that's what we need to focus on.
Okay, Chris, so how would you do it? How would you compensate the free trade losers?
Bill, you know, there's a lot of ideas out there, but one that I like is let's forget protecting the companies. You know, no more, you know, trade barriers or tax credits for the companies. Let's just give the worker a voucher. This is one of my favorite examples. Give the worker a voucher. They can use it at a university, a college, a life coach training, whatever's going to give them the skill and expertise they need. And they're going to know better than anyone else what they need to get a new job, to get a new career. So don't protect the companies. Put the vouchers toward workers, and that's the system that allows for free trade, technological innovation, the occasional disaster like the Gulf oil spill, and the worker comes out ahead.
Marketplace's economics editor, Chris Farrell. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
And finally, BP's chairman is apologizing for a poor choice of words. Carl-Henrik Swanberg was speaking at the White House yesterday about BP's compassion for oil spill victims. He probably meant to say the company cares about people and small businesses. What he actually said was BP cares about small people. So the company is making it clear today it will compensate you for your losses even if you exceed 6 feet. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.